Multiomics, yes, but how to deal with all that data, next on Mendel's Pod. Welcome to the program. I'm Theryl Timpson. Joachim Schmid joins me today. He was hired to Illumina this year from the NanoString team, becoming Illumina's Vice President of Multiomics Data Solutions. What a great title. Illumina has many of these. Welcome to Mendel's Pod for the first time, Joachim.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
What do we exactly mean by multiomics analysis? What would you say that means? And what are some of the current trends and challenges going on right now?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. I usually start by my definition of multiomics, and then we go from there. So it helps, you know, kind of like, so I think because multiomics has a few different angles in some way. There's the multiple omics in some way. So RNA, DNA, proteomics, methylation, kind of different types of information we can get out of sequencing. Then I think the real multiomics is if I combine some of these different omics together from the same sample and I do RNA and proteomics together or something like that.
Mm, which is increasingly possible.
It is possible, and I think it's the most exciting part. But I think we need to enable the other parts to get to the most exciting part in my mind, which is about combining information and trying to, you know, learn something new as we combine these different information pieces. And then I just, the last piece, which is a little bit, it's not really multiomics, but we throw it in there as one of the areas which is covered by multiomics is the modality. There's multiple modalities like bulk versus single cell versus spatial.
Ah, right. I got it.
And I think that's a good place to have it in some way. I don't think it's just a different type of sample we use in multiomics in that.
Yeah, you're speaking of sample, you're coming from the digital pathology space. And I wonder how has that informed your work now here in genomics tools?
It's kind of interesting because I'm with a lot of history in pathology and tissue, digital pathology and so on. First, I joined NanoString as a spatial company, and now I joined Illumina early this year with the sequencing side of things. And I think it's one of the things kind of like the natural point of my career where I spend all my life in diagnostics, life science, and combining these two fields, I think for me is one of the most exciting parts and pieces. How do we get all these different omic information together and, you know, inform about biology, inform about health and so on. So I think for me, it's a very interesting combination of two fields, which have been going in parallel for very long.
Yes.
And it's, you know, usually people are expert on one side or the other side.
Yes.
There's a few of us who are really kind of doing both of these things. And I think it's exciting times to really think about how do we combine the information from these different areas. And it's not just spatial. It's all ways of how you can combine information in my mind.
Yeah, that is exciting. There you are working at the tools space, but you know where we need to get to. Because you've been in the diagnostics and pathology, you know what all this was for, and digital pathology is really exciting space right now. A lot going on there.
Yeah, I spent 25 years there, so I think it's a lot of exciting things, and it gets into clinical practice right now, which I think is exciting. But I think the question in digital pathology is what's next, and I think it's about combining information. So I like being
it's about combining program. These different the different information from the different biological molecules, but it's also about combining combining the modalities.
Yeah, I think it is in that because at the end of the day, it's one patient and all these different information pieces come together in that way.
Okay, so one of the big issues that comes up here is that the analysis gets complicated. And yet many scientists don't have training on this. Is that something that you're looking at?
Yeah, I think that's probably going back to the main function of my fancy title, you know, multiomics data solutions, is how do you create tertiary analysis solutions for the different personas, that's a software term, for different users. There are very different users looking at the information. There are bioinformaticians, which are very comfortable with, here's a file, what can I do with the file? But then there are a lot of researchers, biologists, who are not programmers. And in my opinion, they shouldn't become programmers. They should get tools where they can investigate the data with a point and click kind of solution. So
are you talking customers as in, I mean, I like this word persona, by the way, I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that from you. Are you talking researchers or are you talking like lab technicians?
I think anybody who, a lab test technician, they still want to see the data and see, did it my experiment work? So they want to have some QC view on the data. Did it work? And is the data of high enough quality in some way? And maybe some of the analysis can already be done at the bench. You know, so I was at one of the big customers last Friday, and they said one of our tools allowed them to bring the analysis to the bench scientist and really have the person at the bench look at the data immediately without having to sit at a desk and do some programming and stuff like that.
Right. So how big of a piece is this in the success of multiomics? What are the trends going on right now? What challenges are you seeing?
We recently together, I think at the same time when I joined, we also purchased or acquired Partech, which is a software company who has been around for 30 years providing tools to the sequencing market. And they've been doing multiomics for a while. So we are integrating what Partech has brought there. And I think they have a huge customer base where people use the tool on its own to analyze and visualize the data which comes out of secondary in that way. So I believe the more I think we are enabling everyone to look at the data and analyze the data, that field will grow. I think there's a big opportunity in my mind to make the data easy to look at, easy to evaluate, create your own parameters, visualizations, and then go from there. So I think it's a natural next thing to really something that can grow. And I think it is kind of like going with the, how do we make that as easy as possible? I think it's the user experience. How do we make, I usually say, how do we make the scientists focus on the biology and not on how does the software work? How can really focus?
How can you keep them focused on biology? Yeah. So I in this series with Illumina, I have talked with people about their solutions, more genomic solutions, right? We've been looking at Dragon, for instance, and also, interpretation software. Mm-hmm. What, if I get it right, what you're trying to do is to bring multiomics together for customers. So how is that different? Are you coming out with a whole new software? What does that look like?
I think there's different segments on the tertiary. There's the more clinical, there's the tools for the bioinformaticians, and then there's one for the discovery, for the researchers, the biologists providing tools. So we are using what Partech has and bring that into the overall Illumina connected solution space. So really putting that within all the other software components and make it a end-to-end solution so that the information goes from sequencing through secondary to tertiary in that, and then make it available there. So it's really about, multiple solutions depending on what's your question, what's your job in some way. And I think really what I'm focusing, I think a lot of the multiomics at the beginning will be about discovery and how do I easily combine data. So I think one of the big things we are doing is push all the data in one place so that it's easy to combine proteomics with RNA or, single cell, have some single cell data, maybe have some other data and combine that data. So really, how do we bring all the data into one big data lake or something like that, where it's kind of available, and then you can think about how you want to analyze your data and visualize some of the insights in that.
So we just talked about these different modalities and seeing data, from different modalities coming together. Can you say anything about trends in this from one modality to another?
Yeah, I think the different modalities is definitely interesting layer on top of all the different omics and how they add some new complexity, but also very huge opportunity for new insights. As we move from some of the bulk into single cell to spatial, there's a lot we can learn from that. And I think it's across the different omics. And some of them inform each other, and some others, maybe there's more information in one versus other. So there's different questions who might need different modalities to solve them. And I think what we talked about earlier was like, how does that with my digital pathology background? I think some of that will go back together. How do we bring all the different information into one place and then, you know, learn from that? So I think that's the one of the opportunities across that. I think on the single cell, I would say there's a lot of discussion about perturb-seq and what we can learn from that. And I think that's a huge opportunity on the single cell side. I'm very excited about what we can do about perturb-seq and specifically perturb-seq together with AI. There's a lot to be learned about biology and what's happening there. And then I think there's a lot of effort on on building cell atlases out there to really kind of set the foundation. So I think we'll see a lot of foundational models across different organs, different diseases, and so on, which really will help us to learn more about the biology behind it. So I think, though, we haven't talked about foundational models, but I think a lot of these technologies can be used to build some of these foundational models in AI, so that not everybody has to create their own new model, but that we can keep extending on that. So I think that's some of the trends I can see, and it goes across these different modalities in my mind. I think it should, I think the our CEO keeps saying, make NGS easy, kind of like, you know, make it simple in some way. And I think putting that end-to-end solution from a software together, I think it really helps focusing on the discovery of the science and not on how do I get my data between the different points here in some ways. I think that's one of the key focus areas for multi-omics, so that it has a similar workflow as, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not that different if I do these different omics, but it ends up in the same place. And I can then start doing my experiments, my digital experiments at that point.
Some ease and consistency. So yes, you mentioned sequencing becoming easier, NGS becoming easier. I mean, as it has become easier and the costs have decreased, multi-omics applications are taking off just in such a big way. But along with all this new data being generated, what are the biologists dealing with there? We've talked about many of them don't have a computational background. What's their challenge in extracting meaning from these complex data sets?
I think there's how do we provide the right level of flexibility to analyze my data, but also give the right guiding principles in some way. How do you do a good analysis in some way? How do you do that in some way? So I think the key thing is providing pre-selected pipelines, which people can use. You know, here's how you just run through QC normalization, then you do a differential expression and stuff like that. A lot of people now doing single cell experiments, and we just purchased Fluent. So they, you know, we're adding a lot of single cell capabilities, but not everybody's a single cell expert, you know. So how do we not only say, here's a way how you run your single cell experiment, but here's also a simple way of how you can review the data which came out of your experiment. And then, yes, here's all the buttons to change, you know, your visualizations, or if you want to have a different ways of analyzing, then you can also do that. So these kind of tools and providing them in a simple way. And then I think one more thing, which I think I forgot to mention earlier, is that most researchers are not working on their own. They are working in teams. So a lot of it is about collaboration. How do I collaborate and share data between different groups where I'm like, hey, that's how far I got. Look at my results. What do you think about that? So I think making collaboration easy and providing a software which really can make the collaboration across, you know, kind of like different offices, different buildings, whatever, and get some good collaboration and fast turnaround is probably one of the other areas which really will help the users.
Talking about analytics, we have to talk about AI. So how do you see AI? I mean, you've seen this new AI come along. How do you see this moving the field forward?
I think there's many different opportunities in AI, and I think it's exciting times. I think, you know, in you mentioned digital pathology, and it was starting in the 90s, and then, you know, it was not that much, and now I think it's the exciting time for AI. AI always starts with high-quality data. The higher quality data we have, the more we can do on the AI side. So I think it's very important that we connect the secondary and the tertiary side of things. Getting a high quality output, like from Dragon, where we create the best quality data and then make it available on the tertiary tools. I think you had a session with Kyle just recently about all these amazing things which are possible on the AI side. But there's many opportunities just to help the users to do a simple way of analyzing their data. So there are some simple tools which are also kind of like the single cell GPT kind of stuff where people use
like a single cell assistant or this or that kind of assistant.
Exactly. There's an assistant for proteomics, a single cell in some way. So how do we assist? I think that's there's tools out there in some way, but the question is, how do we make these tools easily available? And so the platform is the place, and then we'll kind of keep thinking about what can we add there. So there's some things we already have, we are building internally, but then we're also looking at all the other options, what we could do to really kind of investigate or analyze the data. As we're going to multi-omics, the amount of data just gets even bigger, because I think we already have amazing amounts of data when we do sequencing for RNA or DNA or something. But now we're adding different angles to that, and it just makes it more data. So the only, you know, one of the ways in the future will be using AI to find things within all that data in that. So the question is, AI is usually driven by the quality of the data, which some part is the machine and the processes. The other part is who has the data. So All of our customers have the data. So how do we make it easy for some of the customers to create their own AI, or for some smaller companies to create AI along the way?
Okay. Yeah, that they would need to create their own AI and work with their own data. But that it would open up, I guess it would help them ask more questions. Maybe their research would go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's there's the genomic language models kind of thing and so on. So there's a lot of research going on right now on new methods within that space. And I think the important part is that we build a framework where the AI can sit on that. So I think when I talk about put all the data in one place, make it easily accessible, I think that enables the usage of AI, but it also enables the development of AI. So I think the information is the key for the quality of what the AI can do. But then at the same time, there's many different ways of how we can make life easier for the researchers. I think the Nobel Prizes came just out. There were two of them
in physics
about AI. I think It's amazing all the things, all the tools we can and we will see being developed along the way. So I think we have a big effort going on the AI side, but we also want to make sure that many more AI tools can be added to such a platform, which is really the tertiary side of things.
What are some applications that you can just imagine, or maybe you're already working with some customers in for this?
I think there's One is just, what would be a good pipeline to analyze my data in some way? You know, mm-hmm. what would be, you know, kind of like a good starting point so I can, I don't have to start on my own. The other one would be just, as we're doing, a lot of the cell typing methods are already AI-based. So how do we make that easier, better in some way, so that we can do cell typing on that? And then as we, you know, we also have within Partech spatial methods, there's a lot of, how do I do some of that spatial investigation, you know, of my transcripts and my morphology and so on? How do I do that? There's a huge opportunity for AI on that side. So I think for me, the ideas on how I can use AI, you know, are unlimited. I think the question is kind of which ones will bring value to the users. And some of it is really just how do I make my life easier as a user? And, you know, that's, you know, sometimes the easier ones versus some of the, how do I identify some new diseases, some new kind of things there.
So finishing up, as we look ahead, how do you see this going over the next few years? Are any breakthroughs in this space on the horizon you think will shape the next decade?
The breakthroughs for me are probably on the AI side. I think it's really kind of like, if you can provide the framework and provide all the different omics and bring the data, you know, into one space, I think the opportunities on the AI side will be fascinating. I think the primate AI thing is kind of just fascinating for me. Mm-hmm. What's possible there and what ideas somebody, you know, some people have and how they bring that to fruition in some way. So I think that's where we will see an amazing innovation. And the other one is really what we talked early, which was bring different omics together and learning something new about that. You know, I think it's the, when do different omics, I'm an engineer, but for me, the one thing which is always when different omics disagree with each other.
So, I mean, well, in some sense, you have, you know, you have spatial information and then you have genomic information. Those are two different things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes they agree and say they are the saying the same thing. But I think if they disagree, I don't think we are, it's wrong. It's just something new. I think that's why I kind of like the, you know, find it fascinating that sometimes, you know, when there's different information pieces, how do we put them together to really learn something new there in some way? I think that's one of the
right. Where if we didn't have them together, we may not notice something or come up with some new question.
Exactly.
Yeah. Joachim Schmidt, the VP of Multiomics Data Solutions at Illumina. It's been a privilege talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Paul.